got a good plan for your life. We know that. I'm so excited about the series that we're starting tonight. Praise God. God wants you financially free. Yeah. And so we're going to be talking about biblical prosperity for who knows how many weeks, but it'll be good, and we'll share some things that'll be eye-opening to you. And we'll really help you in this series. Praise God. A lot of people struggle financially, and they don't understand the purpose. They don't understand some things, but we'll go over some of that. But let's pray and make sure that God gets to say what he wants to say. Father, thank you so much for the word tonight. Lord, we're just so grateful and so thankful to be able to share your word, to gather around your word, to hear what you have to say. Now, Father, we're not here to hear from a man. Man's plans, that's not what we want. Man's ideas or man's thoughts, man's philosophies, man's opinions or man's theories. No, we want to hear from heaven. So, Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth tonight, you'll fill it. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I thank you I'll speak words from heaven tonight. I'll speak as the oracles of God tonight. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it'll be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you it'll be so supernatural that people say, I didn't know. How did he know how to say that? Or how did he know to say what he said tonight? How did he know I needed that? And Father, we know that the truth is, Father, it's because you knew what people needed. So, Father, I yield myself to you. Lord, speak through me. Speak to the people's hearts. We thank you bullseyes will be hit. Father, lives will be changed from this series. I've seen it over and over after teaching this. Father, it's helped me immensely. It turned my life around financially. And it'll help everybody that listens and does your word. So, Father, we thank you for the change. We thank you for the help tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, again, we're going to be talking about biblical prosperity, how to walk financially free and be financially free. And when you hear that word in church, prosperity, it can bring about so many different feelings, different thoughts, different ideas, you know. People come from different backgrounds. People have heard different things. People come in with different opinions and different ideas. But let me just say this. Our answer's found in here. It's not found in opinions. It's not found in, well, this is how I grew up, or this is what I think, or this is what I was told. Well, if what you think and how you grew up and what you were told is not found in the Bible, you don't want it. You know, one of the reasons I stayed away from God is because I went by what I thought about him. I went by what people told me about God. And then I had a friend sit me down in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania on January 10th, 2002. And I told him, you know, he was trying to reach out to me and help me to receive Jesus, but I didn't want anything really to do with God because I didn't think God wanted anything to do with me. And I thought, well, that's the end of my life, you know, go with God. And he showed me in the Bible how much God loves me and how much he cares about me and the plan that he has for me. And I said, man, that sounds good. I'll take it. Praise God. And I received Jesus. But the point is, I could have stuck with what I thought, could have stuck with what I felt and what was told to me by people. But I just decided to be... go with the Bible. And when it comes to biblical prosperity and financial things, and when you talk about money in church, it's important. Throw out what you think. Throw out what your feelings are. And just be open. What does the Word say about it? Amen? But before we start biblical prosperity, because people have asked me, you know, I had one gentleman step into the South Dayton Church. I only met him for about a minute and a half, if that. He came in and he said, Pastor, I think he called me preacher. He said, Preacher, are you one of those prosperity preachers? I said, guilty. Guilty as charged. He turned around and walked out the door. Well, you know, that's fine to not be for prosperity if God's not for prosperity. See, we can only have and believe for what God says we can have and believe for. If the Word says God wants us poor, if the Word says God wants us to struggle, if the Word says God doesn't want us to have anything, then that's what we ought to endeavor to do because that would be His will. But if the Word says something different, I want what the Word says. And again, don't take my word for it. We'll put the Scriptures right up on a big old TV screen for you so you can see it straight out of the Word of God. But James chapter 5 and verse 7 is where I want to start with this because people need to understand something right off the get-go. Biblical prosperity is not so that you can... you know, line your pockets so that you could live some lavish, selfish, boastful, haughty, look-at-me lifestyle. Now, you'll see in this series, God wants you to have nice things, and God wants you blessed. That's absolutely true, and we'll see it in the Word. I said, we'll see it in the Word. But that's not the purpose. We're not trying to, you know, when you hear about people, actually I had someone reach out to me, and the criticism against the prosperity message is that the preachers are talking about some get-rich-quick scheme and that they twist it and things. Well, I know there can be excess in the body of Christ. What's that money-minded, right, where you're in one side of the ditch? But how many of you know when you drive down the road, there's a road you drive on, but there's a ditch on the one side, the ditch on the other side. I've learned the secret to driving. Stay out of the ditches.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? And so the one ditch on prosperity is it's money-minded and excess and talk about it just to line your pockets and get-rich-quick schemes and all sorts of crazy, weird things. And because of that excess, people have avoided the topic altogether and they've skipped the middle of the road and they veered off to the left. You know, one time I veered off to the right. I was coming back after a doubleheader baseball game when I was 16 or 17 years old. She was behind me and I was driving. I used to always screw around, you know, and try to make her laugh and stuff. But I was falling asleep at the wheel and she saw me kept going veering off to the left and veering off to the right. Well, you want to stay in the middle, you get in trouble. And she thought, oh, it's Mike being Mike again, you know. Nope, I fell asleep at the wheel. And all of a sudden I heard the gravel and the gravel woke me up and I was going towards a telephone pole and I overcorrected. I started veering all over the road. You don't want to veer all over the road.
Yeah.
Long story short, I flipped over in the ditch. She thought I was dead. I crawled out of that thing a little bit sore, but my dad was mad. It was a rental car. Oh, Dad didn't even ask me how I was doing. He figured if I can call him, I must be just fine. He didn't say, son, are you okay? What were you doing? Dad, sorry. Baseball game was hot. It was August. Couldn't help it. I fell asleep. But anyways, you want to stay so people veer off from the middle, and they don't when they get in the excess, and they veer off, and they get into the ditch, and they don't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
Or they talk about the wrong things. Well, there's a middle of the road. It's called the Bible. Let's stay with the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. But James chapter 5 and verse 7, look what the word says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that's Jesus, waits. Look at, he's waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. Do you see that there? And has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. So now he says, be patient for the coming of the Lord. Now we think a lot of times wrongly that we're waiting for Jesus to come back.
Yeah.
We're just waiting on him. Anytime, Master.
No, come on.
We're not waiting for him. He's waiting for us. What's it say? When the precious fruits of the earth come, Jesus will come. He's got patience. He's waiting. He's waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. Well, how do the precious fruits of the earth come? They come from bringing people out of darkness into light, into the kingdom. It's talking about the harvest of people. He's so merciful. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad he didn't come pre-January 10th, 2002. I'd have been in trouble. I had my ticket punched to hell. I did. And, thank God he didn't. What was he waiting? He's waiting for the harvest. There's a great harvest in the end days that needs to come in. Say, what does this have to do with money? Well, I'm here to tell you that money and the harvest are directly linked. Say, what, Pastor Mike? Well, let me ask you a question. When missionaries fly across the globe, are those plane tickets free? When ministers travel around and spread the word that we get and people are getting born again and having crusades, to hold a crusade is not free. We've had people come in this building here, get born again, get filled with the Holy Ghost, get healed. The works of God, the kingdom of God, the plan of God going forward. This building is not free. The lights are not free. The heating, the air conditioning, not free. Amen? The kingdom of God needs money on the earth to operate.
Right.
No different than any business. If a business stops with their flow of cash, the business shuts down.
Yeah.
How many churches have shut down because there's not enough money?
Right.
Amen. It's true. So we have to make sure we understand the number one purpose that we're going to learn, because you're going to see in here. If you, I'll just say it this way. If you would get your mind renewed to God's level of prosperity, it would, to know God's level of prosperity, it would trip most people up. Oh, it would trip most people up. We'll share some of it tonight. What God thinks about prosperity, what God thinks about finances, what God thinks about wealth and increase. It would trip most Christians up if they would renew their mind to Daddy's viewpoint. Amen. But the number one purpose for it, and I'm saying it right off the get-go, is for the harvest. Why? The bigger blessing we are. See, God's calling His children, that's you and me, causing His children to fund the kingdom of God. I've yet to have a sinner who doesn't know God walk by this church and write me a check. It rarely happens that the sinner pays for the church and pays for the plan of God. It's always the people of God. You look in the Bible, when they built the temple, God called the people to build the temple. They had to be blessed. If you're not blessed, you can't be a blessing. That's the number one reason for financial freedom and prosperity, is so you can be blessed to be a blessing. Amen? So don't go out of here and accuse me or put me on Facebook and say it's one of those get-rich-quick scheme preachers that's just, you know, babbling about money and this and that. No, I'm telling you, first and foremost, if you're not blessed, the kingdom will shut down. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth, and He's waiting. He's waiting. So let's look at some things concerning biblical prosperity. Hallelujah. Now remember, you're going to have to renew your minds to what the Word says. If you're going to truly step over and walk into the biblical prosperity that's available to you, and to become a supply like God wants you to be, you're going to have to renew your mind to some things, not only because maybe you've heard some wrong things or been around some wrong things or had some preconceived ideas or stereotypes, but because you have a part to play in whether or not you walk into biblical prosperity. You have a part to play of whether or not you walk into financial freedom. A lot of people are just sitting there saying, oh God, I need money. Oh God, I need money. My bills. And He's saying, hey, you're spending time on broke alley. You're spending time on poverty lane. You want to get over into increase highway. You want to get over into all your needs met avenue. Well, I'll tell you how to get there. It's called the GPS. He said, I gave you my word. If you do the word, your situation will change. When you did the word for your salvation, your situation changed. God had a will for you, which was what? Be born again. But you had to do something. You had to receive it, believe it, and walk it out. God's will, you're going to see in this series, is for you to be prosperous. Well, that just must come to pass. Salvation didn't just come to pass. Healing doesn't just come to pass for people. Financial freedom doesn't just come to pass for people. And with finances, and we'll see this, this is going to be a good series, I'm telling you. It's going to be good. And a lot of people don't realize you have a part to play. You want your situation to change. You want to be used by God. You want to have money not be between you and God. Then you're going to have to do something. And if you don't renew your mind to what the Word says, you'll never do it. Trips people up. Trips people up. Praise God. Why? Money's so special to them. And we'll look at this when we look at God's thoughts on money. Matthew 6:21 says, where your money is, your heart is. That's what Matthew 6:21 says. That's why you tell where people's hearts are. Are they with God or are they with other things? Well, wherever their money goes. Show me your checkbook. I'll show you your heart. That's what the Word said. Amen. So in this series, we're going to see God's take on prosperity. We're going to learn to think right concerning money. What's thinking right concerning money? See, God doesn't look at money as dollars and cents. It's way more important to God than dollars and cents. And we'll see that, but most people don't think that way. I just told you one of the ways God thinks it. He says it's a heart issue. A lot of heart problems in the body of Christ. Why? A lot of people have money between them and God. It's the truth. We're going to look at how to think right concerning money. We're going to look at the biblical definition of prosperity. We're going to look at the prosperity in the cross. How does prosperity and the cross go together? I'm going to tell you, they go together. And then we're going to see how to walk into biblical prosperity. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, tonight it seemed good in my heart to start the series for number one is God for or against prosperity? You're going to walk out of here tonight saying, my goodness, my daddy, wow. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? We're going to see, is God for or against prosperity? Well, let's start, if you want to ever see things, you go back and you look at the book of beginnings. In Genesis, it was a picture before the fall, before sin, of God's intentions. One of God's intentions we see before the fall was when he told Adam and Eve, I give you dominion over the planet. Remember he said that? He said, I give you the authority. So God's original intention for mankind was that they have authority. Well, we see another thing with God. There was no death. The Bible says sin entered, then death came. God's original intention for mankind was that they never die. You remember, I'm just kind of giving you some little fun things here. Remember when the snake came and started talking to Eve? And she didn't flip her lid because the snake was talking to her? Why? Before the fall, it was normal to converse with the animals. She didn't go, what in the world? A snake's talking? It's normal. Before the fall. Everything changed after the fall. Amen. A lot of things. But one of the things you see before the fall is God's intention for mankind and what God wanted for mankind. Amen? Well, go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. This will help you. Genesis chapter 1. And so it says in verse 26, we'll just read down, we're not going to read down the whole thing. It says, God made man in our image, gave them dominion. And then you look at what he gave him dominion over. He gave him dominion over everything. He gave him dominion over everything on the earth. The whole earth. Two people to start. Adam and Eve. The whole earth. It says in verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and have dominion over everything. Verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, upon all the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, and it shall be for meat. See, animals weren't used for meat until after. There's no killing. Yeah. It says, and to every beast there to follow the air, and to everything, verse 30, that creeps on the earth, wherein is life. I have given every green herb for me, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. Now go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, or verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Now if you study the root of that word Eden in the Hebrew of the Aramaic, you have to look at it. One of the definitions of Eden, you need to do a word study on this, is increase, abundance. Well, was the Garden of Eden a garden of increase and abundance? Sure was. So he says, you have all this whole earth, but in your backyard where you live, I'm going to put you right in the garden of abundance, the garden of increase. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden of Eden, a garden of increase, a garden of abundance, and there he put the man whom he had formed and out of the ground, let's see where I want to go here. Out of the ground, the Lord God, verse 9, to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. He put things in there that would just be pleasant to them. And good for food. And pleasant for sight, and it's good for food. It's good to look at, it's good to eat. Now here's what I want you to see, and this is where I'm going to branch off from here. In the Garden of Eden, so God abundantly supplies all the earth. There's two people on the earth. How many wasted bananas were there? The whole earth. How many wasted grapes would there have been? How many wasted apple trees or orange, whatever the fruit was back then? How much of that would go unused? What poverty calls waste, God calls supply. People would say, what a waste! Look at that! Look at all the stuff that's going to waste! But you don't understand how my father works. You want to see how daddy works real quick? What did he do? He dropped mankind in a garden of abundance in so much they couldn't even partake of it all. Complete increase. Complete wealth, complete abundance, complete supply. With enough left over that would go to waste. And God said, I don't care. You're going to see my God don't care about that. He's not a God that says, let's just give you just enough. Can't be. Why? His name, El Shaddai, one of his covenant names, the God that's more than enough. Psalms 23 and verse 5. You got to renew your mind to this. We grow up in religious teachings and things that teach us that God wants us poor and God's not interested in our money and God's this and God's that. Well, let's find out in the Bible what he's interested in and renew our minds to it. Why? If we find out that God's for prosperity, we have every right to go for it. To be unleashed on that thing. Go for it. Praise God. And you should want what Daddy wants. Psalm 23:5, David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup gets half full." My cup just right to the brim, then shut it off. Nope, my cup runneth over. See, when our kids are at the dinner table and they pour milk and it gets in the glass and it goes up, or they pour juice and it goes up and it starts spilling out, we lose our minds. Don't waste that. What are you doing? God says, "I'm okay with this. Just keep pouring. Just keep pouring. Just keep pouring." Why? He's God that's more than enough. He's God that's more than enough. Amen. Want to see some more? Well, I'll just say this before we look there. Remember the little boy, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Remember how many people were there? The Bible said there were 5,000 men. Just included the men. So we can safely say there's probably at least 10,000 people there with families. So the size of the families and stuff back then. What happened? The Bible says they ate until they were full. When you're full, you can't fit anymore. You ever been there? Oh. They didn't walk out of there saying, "Oh, we just got a little snack." No. The Bible said they ate till they were full. And guess what? There were 12 baskets of extra and increase. Why? God is a God of more than enough. What about over there? Go with me to Luke chapter 5. What am I trying to tell you? You got to get your mind off this. Well, if I just can skip by, that's not how your Father operates. Well, I just sure would just be happy to just pay my bills just for 1 month. That's not how you keep your mindset on that. As a man thinketh in his heart, the word says, so is he. You think wrong, you're going to believe wrong. You believe wrong, you're going to speak wrong. You speak wrong, and Mark 11, 23 says you'll have wrong. Yeah, I'll say that. You know what we have a lot that goes around in the body of Christ in the area? A poverty mentality. Now, that's okay to have a poverty mentality if that's how God thinks. But we're starting to see already God don't have a poverty mentality. He has, "I'm going to put my people in a place where they can't even enjoy all this. Yeah, I'm going to keep just pouring and pouring as it runs over. Now, I'm not going to just make sure the 10,000 people are just fed. I'm going to make sure they're stuffed, and I'm going to send 12 baskets full home with you." Yeah, that's your God. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Look what it says here. "It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, who was also Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land." So he needs Peter's boat, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets." You see that word? "Let down your nets for a draw or a catch." And Simon answered, said, "Master," you know what he's thinking? "You're the carpenter, I'm the fisherman. I do this for a living. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word," what's he saying? "Master, we did this all night long. I want to go home. I just worked the third shift." And Jesus saying, "Go back out, let down your nets." They said they were washing their nets. There's more than one net there. But you know what? Peter got into his head and started thinking, "I'm the fisherman, you're the carpenter. But if you say to do it, I just will get you off my back." And look what the Bible says. And Simon said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the..." Wait, what? Where'd the S go? You know what happened? Peter thought, "Oh, I just want to go home. I'm not putting 2 nets in the water. We're washing our nets." Throws 1 net in the water. "Oh, ye of little faith, Peter." Okay, so wait. And you know what that tells you? You'll get what you believe for in your mindset. Jesus wanted to do something great for him this day, and great things did happen, but should have been bigger. Jesus said, "Let down your nets." What's that mean? If Jesus says, "Let down your nets," you throw every stinking net in the water. Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, I'll say that. Because if Jesus tells you to do anything with your money, you do it. Remember when Jesus met the rich young ruler? The guy was super wealthy, and Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the Bible said that troubled the boy because he had so much stuff. Listen, if Jesus tells you to throw your nets in the water, you throw every net in the water. If Jesus tells you to go sell all your possessions, you go sell all your possessions. Why? He's never trying to make you broke. He's never trying to get you in lack. Remember what the word says? There's not been man that has left mother, nobody that's left mother, brother, sister, family for the gospel's sake that has not received how much back in this life and in the one to come. He's saying, increase. When that rich young ruler said, no, I will not sell my stuff and come follow you, he walked away from the biggest jackpot of his life. Why? He would have sown all that money, and sowing and reaping would have taken place. He would have done it for Jesus, and Jesus said, when you leave for the gospel's sake, you receive 100-fold in this life and the life to come. Didn't he say that? And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And Peter, he said, let down the nets, Peter. And Peter said, oh, carpenters. Those darn carpenters, they don't know how to fish. I'll throw in one net and just appease Jesus. And you know what? Jesus let him do it. Jesus will let you be unfaithful with your money. And you can keep walking in your brokenness. Go ahead. Go ahead. Because when he told Peter, let down your nets, it wasn't an easy thing for him to do. It wasn't an easy thing for him to do. It was a hard thing on his flesh and on his mind. And he got what he wanted. He got what he did. Yeah, Jesus will let you keep being disobedient. Jesus will let you keep talking wrong. Jesus will let you keep going down the wrong way. Why? He's a gentleman. He ain't going to force you to do anything. Jesus stood right there and knew what was going to happen. And he didn't say, Peter, I said nets. Well, that's where your faith is, Peter. Let down the net. Okay, let down the net. See what happens. The Bible says when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net broke. You know when your net breaks, the fish go out of the net. If you don't get it in the boat in time. Well, that should have happened if they had all the nets in the water. They missed out. They got something, but they missed out. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships. So they began to sink. And just to think, it should have been more. Let down your nets. Let down your net. Well, what's my point? They had so much. Now, what happens with that so much? They're businessmen. What do they do with that fish? They don't go home and eat it. What do? They sell it, and they make their living. Notice the Savior of the world sat there while both boats were being filled with income and didn't say, okay, that's enough. Let's not get carried away here. Okay, that's good enough. Let's, you know, we don't want to stumble over this prosperity. Nope, he just let the fish keep piling up and up and up, and the increase kept coming up and up and up. Why? Pours out. He doesn't care. He just keeps pouring. Here, Adam and Eve right here, right in the middle of the garden. He's a God who's more than enough. Now, you want to go to heaven? Well, let's take you to heaven then. Go to Revelation 21 and verse 10. Now, there's not a whole lot in the Bible about heaven as far as learning about heaven. You know, most of Revelation is about the tribulation, different things like that. But we get little glimpses into heaven. Who would like to see where Daddy lives and where you're headed? And I'll just say this before I say this. You know, I read recently where people were getting all mad at some movie stars and politicians because they went to some conference for the environment, but they all flew their big private jets there. Which is horrible for the environment, right? If you're just getting on a private jet and all the things, or you know, they'll the cars that they drive, you know, they'll be pounding the pulpit for climate change and stuff, and then they'll be driving vehicles that are horrible for the environment, or right? That's what I read. Well, what did people scream and holler at them? They called them hypocrites, right? Called them hypocrites. You hear it all the time with politicians. You know, the politicians that are complaining that when people get too much money. Yeah, they're millionaires sitting in their mansions and things, right? And they call them what? Hypocrites. Well, you're going to see here now, if God is not for prosperity, he's the biggest hypocrite of them all. He's living in disgusting prosperity, just so you know. God is living in ridiculous prosperity. Your dad. Don't look at me that way. Revelation 21 and verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So now we're getting a glimpse into what heaven looks like. Heaven, the glory of God, and her light was like a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear and crystal. And it had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. Their tape measures in heaven are gold. Duh. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Now, if you study that out, that's about 1,500 square miles one way. Turn this way and go 1,500 square miles. Turn this way, go, you know, make square. Y'all learn to square. 1,500 square miles. Daddy's home is big. Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, this is within the city, not the outer parts of the city. The city where God lives is within the city. 1,500 the wall one way. 1,500 square miles the next way. And he measured the city with a gold reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like glass. The city, pure gold. You ever seen gold that pure? It's like glass. Oh, God must not be for prosperity. He's the biggest hypocrite I know. Because he's living in it. Say, well, yeah, but that's God. No, wait a second. Stop with that thought. That's God. Wait a second now. Does the Bible say in Matthew chapter 7, if you then knowing how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things? Why am I bringing that up in Matthew 7? Because he likens good earthly parents that take care of their children. He says God does more for his kids than good earthly parents. Well, I can tell you, as a good earthly parent, I'm not going to sit in my home and enjoy the air conditioning and enjoy the heat in the winter and make Caleb and Abby sleep out in the barn with no heat, no light, no electricity, no heat, no blankets, no... So God's going to be up in heaven in prosperity and all his needs met, and you're telling me he's okay with his children who he gave Jesus for? I'm okay that you have nothing. I'm okay that you struggle while I sit here with the gold. It's stupid. It's religious. It's religious thinking. But we'll get to people on the earth in a second. Just let me get there. We're talking about heaven. Because I know people think, well, that's heaven, that's heaven, that's heaven. Well, we'll see what it says about earth here in a second. He says, verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with manner of precious stones. Look up that word precious in the Hebrew. You know what that means? Great value. What a waste, God, not the God. What poverty calls waste, God calls supply. God calls prosperity. Yeah. Precious stones, the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, look at this, 12 foundations. 12 foundations covered in these precious, valuable stones. Wow. Go down to verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. Are you understanding? The gate was a pearl. Some pearls this big go, an average nice pearl goes for anywhere a couple hundred bucks to into the thousands. This big. The city, the gates of the city were pearls. Oh, what a waste. Why couldn't he just throw a door up there? You got to think different, praise God. You got to think different, hallelujah. Amen. Go to John 14 in verse 2. John 14 in verse 2. Look at what the Word says. What am I trying to do? Get your mind on a different level? You know what most Christians love us? I sure would be happy if I just pay my bills. Oh, that's a great mindset to have. Real blessing you're going to be to the church. Real blessing you're going to help getting the harvest in. Just paying your bills. You selfish thing, you. My desire for prosperity is to be so stinking blessed that I can keep giving and giving. Because I believe that's the true sign of prosperity, is how much you give. Yeah. That's my goal. It's not to be have stored up 10 houses, 10 boats and stuff. I'm not saying God's against stuff. God's against stuff having you. But what I'm saying is, how selfish to have the mindset, I sure would just like to pay my bills. You're thinking wrong. You got to get on your father's view of prosperity. And daddy sees things a little different than we do. John 14 in verse 2. In my father's house. What's my father's house? 1,500 one way, 1,500 the other way, 1,500 this way, and 1,500 square miles that way. In my father's house, in Michael's house, there's a few rooms. In my father's house, there are many mansions. Oh, you better not go to heaven if you're against prosperity. Oh, you're going to be so mad when you see your beautiful home. Come on, all you religious people that are ticked off at me right now, I'm telling you, look up here. Don't go to heaven. You'll hate it. Oh my gosh, look at the square footage on this home. How dare God? I can't live in something like that. That's too excessive. No, you're going to run and say, woo-hoo-hoo. It's the truth. In my father's house are many mansions. Why? It's God's taste. It's God's taste. Yeah. Homes down here that we bat an eye at and think, oh my gosh, those are shacks in heaven. Those are shacks to daddy. Yeah. Amen, it's true. Hallelujah. Oh man, what are we doing? We're petting the fur backwards on the cat right now. What happens is you're looking for ticks. When I look for ticks on my dog, I don't go down from his head down to his rear end. I go from her rear end up to her head and I dig through that. Why? It exposes some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just mowing the grass the wrong way and petting the fur the wrong way right now. But you need to get your mindset on different. Why? There's a harvest that needs to be won. There's churches that need to be paid off. There's ministers that need to go. There's things that need to be done for the kingdom. And if Christians are poor and struggling because of their mindset, it's not going to get done. It's not going to get done. In my father's house, there's many mansions. Well, let's look at on earth now, because you might say, wow, that was the Garden of Eden, Pastor Mike, and that's heaven. But here we are in Allegheny. Well, what does God think about people on the earth and increase? And what are we trying to get you? God's idea of prosperity. Go with me to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. Genesis 13 and verse 1. Well, I think God's okay with me just getting by. No, he's not. No, he's not. I'm not okay with my kids just getting by. Amen. You know I'm a good dad. You know when my kids get things and get extra? Oh, no. It excites me when my kids are blessed. Amen? It excites God when his kids are blessed. Genesis 13, 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now, who's Abram? This is before God changed his name to Abraham. He's only the guy that God said, hey, I'm going to cut covenant with you. I want my covenant to start with you, and it did. Abraham was one of the mightiest men of God that's ever lived, that did things for God. God said, I choose you. Well, look at what Abraham was. And Abram was, wait, what's that say? What's that? Wait, the guy that God chose? This can't be. This, huh? Because money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. God's not against you having money. God's not against you having increase. God's against money having you. It's the truth. Abraham, the very guy that God said, the lineage of Jesus Christ is going to start with you. And it did. Go down through the line. Got all the way to Joseph. Yeah. The lineage of Jesus. I'm cutting covenant with you, Abraham. Abraham was very rich spiritually. He was just spiritually rich. You were so poor when you started to come into this church, Jake, weren't you? Yeah. What'd you just buy? You told me last week, getting in your outside. House number four? House number four? Of course, he had to live in all of them. He rent some of those out. Bought his fourth house. You came to me in what year? 2013. As poor can be. As broke can be. And you know what Jake learned? God's view on prosperity. Good old Heather back there, his wife, sitting in the sound booth. She's filling in for us tonight. Was told, you'll never have a baby, right, Heather? Isn't that what they told you? Well, she's got two. They said it's impossible. Not with God. What am I trying to tell you? If you'll get a hold of this and you'll listen and renew your mind and get past what religion's told you and get past what your flesh will tell you and look in the Bible, same thing will happen for you. Increase will come. You won't even believe it. Jake, if I would have told you sitting at Applebee's that day when I told you, listen to everything I say, man, just listen to everything I say. Everything I tell you is going to be in the Bible. Just listen to it and do it. Isn't that what I told you? Listen to it and do it. Listen to it and do it. I said, it's in a cult. I'm not trying to lead you off a cliff. You go back and check the Bible, make sure it's in the Bible. My heart went out to him because he was struggling so bad, because I used to be that guy, addicted on things and disease-ridden and poverty-stricken. And I sat Jake down at Applebee's and only, and I said, you listen to everything I say, and I promise you a year from now you won't even recognize your life. If I would have told you that in 2019, 6 years from abject poverty, you'd be buying your fourth house, you'd have said, you're crazy. But it happened. And I could go into testimony after testimony after testimony. But you know what most people aren't willing to do? Oh, this is, we pray for utterance, so when we get utterance, just accept it. Most people won't do what they'll do. You mean drive an hour and a half on a Saturday to fill in to be an usher here? Anytime I ask him? Sir, yes, sir, he'll do it. Heather, getting a babysitter and giving her kids off to come out here to fill in for sound for us? Most people won't do it. Tithing, giving offerings? Ah! We're going to get to the word on these things. See, we want this increase that has supernatural increase and blessings that blessed be blessed. But are we willing? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 119, the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. Most people are not willing, and most people certainly are not obedient. And they don't eat the good of the land. They get a measure of the good of the land, but they don't eat the full goodness of the land. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we'll see who comes back next week. It says here, let's finish this out. Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Go with me to 1 Samuel 17 and verse 24. Now, before we get there, let me just ask you an obvious question. I'm not trying to trick anybody. This is about King David. King David, you know, went up against Goliath, and he took down a champion of war. He was a young teenage boy who kept his father's sheep, and he took down a champion of war with armor and was skilled in war. He took him down with a slingshot and a rock. Now, let me ask you a question. Did David take down Goliath because he was the master slingshot artist? No. What did he say? When they were saying, you can't go against him, you're just a teenage boy. Look at you, you don't even know how to use armor or anything. David said, the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, the same God. Who did he give the credit to? God. You know why David was bullseye? One, because he was training in the fields with a slingshot and being the top slingshot artist in the world. It's because God was behind that rock. David trusted God and used his faith, and God got on that faith, and his power flowed, and it nailed that giant right between the eyes. So we could say it this way. How did David beat Goliath? One on David's strength. God caused him. Say, well, what's that have to do with anything, Pastor Mike? Well, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 24, it has everything to do with it. Talk about what we're talking about. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath fled from him and were sore afraid. And all the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be, now notice this, it shall be. What's David's status? Just a lowly shepherd boy. in the field keeping his father's sheep. What's his brothers doing? They're on the battlefield, but David's back at keeping the sheep. Just so you know, the sheep keepers were not the wealthiest back then. But look what happens. And it'll be the man who kills him. Well, you all agreed with me already that David didn't kill Goliath on his own behalf. God helped him kill Goliath. That the man that kills him, the king, will enrich him with great riches. God, you mean you helped David do something that moved him into great riches? What else did it do? And give him the king's daughter? You know what happens when you marry the king's daughter? Your world changes, and everyone in your lineage behind you's world changes. He didn't kill Goliath and enter into poverty. He killed Goliath and increased. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, Proverbs 10:22 says, and adds no sorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened? Kills Goliath. All of a sudden, he's one of the wealthiest men around. Ready to marry the king's daughter. And I know, I heard Pastor Nancy this one time, it made me laugh. She said, yeah, but what if he didn't want to marry the king's daughter? What if she didn't look like he wanted? But she's the king's daughter. Don't matter what she looks like. Don't matter what you feel. You marry her. That's what she said. That's a little bit of sarcasm, you know, but it's true. Look what he got. Look what he got. God did that for him. God did that for him. Go to 1 Kings 3 and verse 12. Is God against prosperity? Well, Abraham was rich and God chose him. God didn't say, Abraham. Now remember how rich Abraham was? It went on to say in Genesis 13 that he had so much stuff that the land couldn't hold all him and his nephew's stuff. They had too much stuff, the Bible says. Too much stuff. And God said, that's what man. God didn't tell Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, now you obey me, but first what you got to do, Abraham, is you got to get rid of everything. I can't have this prosperity thing. This prosperity thing is going to trip people up and cause people to stumble, and I don't know if you should have it. Nope, God said, you're rich. It don't matter to me. Money don't have you. I choose you. You know why Abraham was so rich? Because he was so faithful. Yep. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Man, it's quiet in here. 1 Kings 3 and verse 12. This ought to make you happy. God's for you being prosperous. You got to learn how to do it, though. It doesn't just automatically happen. Why isn't it happening in my life? You got to learn it. 1 Kings 3 and verse 12. This is talking about Solomon. Who's Solomon? David's son. Behold, I have done according to your words. This is what, remember God asked Solomon, what do you want? And he talked about wanting wisdom. Remember that? Didn't ask for money, asked for wisdom. He says, behold, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Wait a minute, wait. What? I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there will be none like you before you. Neither there be any after comes after you. What's he saying? No person, no king is ever going to be wiser than you. But he didn't stop there. Verse 13. And I, who's the I? God. And I, you see it? And I, God's saying, and I have given. And I have given. And I have given. What's that mean? If God's given it, we get a little bit of indicator of what God is okay with. And I have given you that which you have not asked for. What did you not ask for? Riches and honor. So that there shall not be any among you like all under your days. Solomon was the richest man in the world. How did he get there? God gave it to him. Amen. But I thought God's against us having money. I thought God's against prosperity. Hallelujah. Give me a few more places and we'll close this thing down. Abraham was rich. God didn't care. David wasn't rich and God gave him the means by which to become wealthy. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said, you asked for the right thing. I'm also going to give you riches so there's no one else like you. I guess God's not against prosperity. Oh, let's go to this one. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. What am I trying to do? Get your mind renewed that God is a God of prosperity. If you don't think right, we don't have time to look at it tonight, so we'll go into next week with it. But I sit here and pepper you with scripture after scripture about how God wants you prosperous. Ain't about just David. Ain't about just Job. Isn't about Solomon. Isn't about just Abraham. Isn't about what God just enjoying in heaven. Isn't about what Adam and Eve got. Prosperity belongs to you. But you have to renew your mind and come up to the level of thinking that God's on. Why? As a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. You think wrong, you'll believe wrong. You believe wrong, you'll speak wrong. You speak wrong, you'll have wrong. Job chapter 1 and verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, not Oz, Uz, whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance, that's his stuff. Now, when I read down through all this, in modern times, Job was a multi-millionaire. It's important for you to know this. His substance was 7,000 sheep. Remember, sheep represented income. 3,000 camels represented income, agriculture, right? And having we had to have the land. It was in agriculture as well as the farming with the animals and the land, because you got to have the land to have all those animals. Woo, imagine the land this guy had. 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest. You say, well, he's talking about great being a good guy. No, he just got done telling you all the stuff he had. He was the wealthiest man of the East. Why is that important to know? Well, remember what happened? Satan came along. Most people think God did it, but Satan came along. Just read the Bible. And robbed from Job, didn't he? He robbed from Job. But pastor, the Bible says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Yeah, Job repented for saying that. He thought God took it from him. He didn't know. He didn't have a Bible like we did. He didn't know there was a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you read down through the Bible in the book of Job chapter 1 and verse 2, you see it was the devil that took, not God. God doesn't take. Devil takes. Okay, so remember that now. Job is a multi-millionaire. Before he gets robbed from him. Now go to Genesis, Job chapter 42 and verse 10. Job chapter 42 and verse 10. God's not against prosperity. God is prosperity. Job 42, and why again is it important to be prosperous? Because we got a work to fund. We got buildings to pay off. We got missionaries to send. We got things to get done on this earth. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave. And the Lord gave. Now, if there's any time to see that God's against a person having a lot, this would have been the best time to prove it. Because Job had nothing. It was all stolen from him. Right? So, whatever God's going to give him gives us an idea of what God's ideas on prosperity is. Well, most people think multi-millionaire, that's excessive. Job didn't need that many thousands of camels and donkeys and oxen, sheep. What does one man need all that stuff for? Well, if that's God's mentality, but remember, we already saw God's the God that keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. God's the God that doesn't care that a whole load of tons of bananas go to waste. Doesn't care. Doesn't care. Doesn't care. Why? He's the God that's more than enough. The Lord gave Job a tenth of what he had before. Because you know, Job, that you could... He didn't even restore him back to being a multi-millionaire. God doubled him. That's what it says. The Lord gave Job twice as much. Well, God must not be a God of prosperity. God can't be a God of prosperity. He just made Job the doubly richest man in the East. He's already the richest man in the East. Well, what do you need? All that's excess. Yeah, it's because God's an excessive God. Yep. It's the truth. You know, I laugh sometimes when you hear Christians criticize other Christians for what they have. And we'll look at some of that stuff in here, because there's no doubt you can get where stuff has you. But Christians will criticize ministers that you see that have private jets that fly them from... Pastor Nancy was telling me, she's believing for an airplane. She told me the amount of time, how many months was it total? It was like 3 months of airport time. Added up through the whole year of traveling. Why is she traveling? For vacation? No. To go share the gospel. To get people saved, set free, and delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost. She said she spent 3 months just in airport time. You know what these private planes do for some of these ministers? They take away all that. I don't know about you, but I've never had a trip where I've gone through the airport and not been tired after. Flying commercially is not easy on your body. Imagine doing it every week, after week, after week, to have 3 months. That's 3 months of your time. That'd be like sitting from now, August, September, into sometime in October, October 10th, just sitting in an airport. You wouldn't want to do it. See, I'll choose a different profession. And they'll look at ministers that have stuff. And here, God's men in the Bible were the richest of the land. And God didn't bat an eye at it. In fact, God made Solomon that way. God made David that way. God made Job that way. And God picked a guy who's already very rich. Said, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Why? That's who he is. That's who he is. Now remember, before your little mind goes off and running wild and the devil starts telling you thoughts, why are we trying to be prosperous? So we can be funders. So we can be a blessing. We got to get by this poverty mentality and come up into God's thinking and start walking into increase and walking into blessing and prosperity. Who's going to fund it if we don't? And I'm telling you, I'll say this in closing. If you pretend you're at Applebee's with old Pastor Mikey right now, if you'll do everything that I tell you to do in this series, and I give you a caveat first, everything I tell you is going to be in the Bible. So don't think, well, that sounds like a cult. Yeah, it's a cult if what they're telling you is not in the Bible. Don't do what's not in the Bible. Yeah. And I told Jake that because I said, it's going to sound crazy what I'm about to say, but everything I tell you from this point on, just do it. And you'll go back and you'll see it in the Bible. If you'll do everything I tell you in this series and see it in the Word and start renewing your mind and put these things in practice, you will walk into increase and financial freedom that you have never yet experienced. Just real quick, pull up Ephesians 3:20. You've never yet experienced. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him, God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's your God. He does more than you can even ask or think. According to the power that works in us. If you'll cooperate with his word, put your thoughts down, your mind down, your flesh down, what so-and-so said, and say, I know so-and-so said, I know my mind said, but the Bible says, like Jake did, like I did as a young man who was so poor. Money is so simple to get. It is easy. Easy, 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 easy when you do the word. Oh, it is. I'm telling you right now, if you'll do it. You say, well, I'm already blessed. Yeah, but if you don't do things God's way, the Bible says there will be a sorrow attached with it. Blessing of the Lord makes rich, adds no sorrow. When you do things God's way, you get the richness without the sorrow. Oh, there's a lot of CEOs. Oh, they're rich, they got the money in the bank. Oh, but there's sorrow attached to it. Oh, there's a lot of rock stars and a lot of movie stars. They got the money, but they got the sorrow too. Yeah, that's what happens. You do things the world's way. But if you'll do things God's way, oh my God, I just wish I could stress it. And for those naysayers, because the devil's a liar, say, Pastor Mike, shut up. I'm getting there. I'm going to shut up. Pastor Mike, you're just saying that so we'll give more money. Let me remind you that Pastor Mike Anderson, while his wife was pregnant with Caleb, in the month that she was to give birth back in June of 2010, quit his full-time job to start a church in South Stinking Dayton, New York, a town of 600 people. You don't start a church in South Dayton if you're looking for money. And I started it in a storefront. And there were services that I showed up at, and I preached my guts out, just like I do every time I'm here, to two people. And if there would have been 2 million, I would have shared the same message. I didn't get in this for the money. In fact, I walked away from money to trust God, because I don't need your money. God needs your money on the earth, but God's my supply. You're not my supply. So when the devil comes and tells you, Pastor Mike's just bring that thought to the word. Is Pastor Mike telling you the word, or is Pastor Mike manipulating money out of you? Jake, was I telling you the word or trying to manipulate money out of you? And if you think, and we're getting bold tonight, if you think that's what we're doing here? Why are you at this church? Why would you be somewhere that you don't trust the preacher? Go find a different church. Be my guest. Go find one where they won't tell you about what the Bible says about it. Go right ahead. But I'm going to teach it to people that are going to be hungry. They're going to learn it, and their lives are going to change. And a year from now, they're going to say, my God, I don't even recognize things. It'll happen. I'm just telling you, it'll happen. Why? The Word works every time. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word tonight. Oh, man, thank you. I'm stirred up. I am fired up, Father. Lord, help us to see things the way you see things. Right now, as we talk to you in this prayer, Father, you are in that place that's filled with precious stones, streets of gold, tape measures of gold, thrones and walls and precious stones and gold and just ridiculous, disgusting abundance. That's where you're at right now. Oh, yes, Father, that's right. You prayed, Jesus, you prayed, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, you want your people, your children, walking in prosperity. You want them walking in financial freedom. You want them walking in such increase that we can be a blessing to anything that comes our way. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for each and every person here tonight, that they would not listen to the thoughts of the devil, the thoughts of their flesh, the thoughts of their mind, and they'd listen to the Word, and they'd say, okay, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I'm told, that's the Word. I can't deny it, that God's a prosperity God. I can't deny it. God made people rich in the Bible. God is a rich God. God dumped Adam and Eve in a place where they could not even begin to experience all that He gave them. That's God. That's God. I pray that they would see that, Father. And I pray that they would get hungry for this series. Lord, not just because it'll change their personal finances, but Father, you know my heart. I don't have to try to justify myself to the people. I've already had private conversations with you over and over again in my office when I've been on my face before you. You know my heart is people. You know my heart is to see people saved. Father, if people would prosper, we get this church paid off. Oh, the money we could use to help people. The ministers we could send around the world. If people would prosper, Lord, that's my heart. To get people blessed, to get people saved, to get people set free. So I thank you for helping each person here tonight. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. God gave us prosperity, and we're going to learn that, learn how to be financially free. That's His will. But the best thing that God ever gave us was Jesus. I mean, that trumps any bit of money, any bit of stuff, any bit of substance. But just like prosperity, you know, God's will is it. And some of you might say, well, I sure ain't seeing it. Well, you got to cooperate. You got to do it. That's why we're teaching this. The Word brings light. The Word brings the revelation. Well, it's the same with salvation. You say, yeah, I'd love to go to heaven. That sounds great. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Well, you got to cooperate. You got to do your part. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, say anything on their own, or come forward. But if you're here tonight and you can say to yourself, I don't know, Pastor Mike, if I'd go to heaven if today were my last day on the earth. I just don't know if I would or not. I'm here to give you an opportunity to know. Jesus said that if you would believe in Him, you wouldn't perish. He said if you call my name, you'd be saved. Heaven's easy. It's simple. It's not about church attendance. It's not about giving. Doesn't have anything to do with money. Doesn't have anything to do with your good deeds outweighing your bad and your morality. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. And there's a way to get to heaven. Number one, you must believe. Number two, you must receive. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, or if you're listening by live stream now or in the future on the archive, and you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I want to. I think I would, but I'm not sure. My goodness, get off the fence of eternity. This is a free gift. You're not joining this church. You're just acknowledging Jesus. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you want to receive the Lord here tonight and you've never done that, don't let this moment pass you by. Nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you. If you want to receive Jesus, would you just lift your hand high in the air and then put it down? Anybody at all that's never done that before? Anybody at all that's never received Jesus and you want to receive Him, just lift your hand in the air and put it down. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in this building here tonight. But Lord, if by chance there's somebody in here, maybe they were just shy, or maybe they didn't want to raise their hand. Lord, it's not the raising of the hand that gets them saved. And Father, if there's somebody by live stream right now listening, or in the future via the archive that's listening, and I obviously can't see them raise their hand, Lord, it's not the raising of the hands, the believing and receiving Jesus. So if you are in here and you should have raised your hand, or if you're listening online, all you have to do is what the Word says, call out to Him. And it just sounds something like this. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. If you'll pray that prayer, he'll do what he said. He'll save you. God will become a father to you. Oh, and that's when things start to get good. If you prayed that for the first time and you're in this room, just privately let me know, or if you're online, shoot me an email or give me a phone call. Has some information and materials we want to get into your life. Father, we just love you so much tonight. Let's stand to our feet and worship him before we go. Just vow tonight we're going to think like him. Lord, even if you think, I mean, I'm hitting the mark. I'm doing everything right. Just vow tonight to be humble, to say, Lord, I'm open in this series. Just say it to him right now. Lord, I'm open to receive in this series. And again, if it's not the word, you don't receive it. If it's not the word, throw it out the window. But just tell him, Father, I thank you. A new day's coming for me financially. Come on, begin by faith. A new day is coming for me financially. Praise God. It'll be in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next Saturday at 6. You're dismissed. We'll be right back.
Jesus.